We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, chapter 5, verse 20. Vayihi kisham achem es hakol. Yesterday we talked about the great voice, the voice of Hashem. And so today we say, and when you heard that voice, mitocha echa hacheshach, from the midst of that darkness, v'hahor boyer ba'esh, and the mountain is burning with a fire, v'tikru v'nelai kol roshei shivtechem, all the heads of your tribes, v'ziknechem, and your elders came close to me. Rashi tells us earlier that there's two kinds of drawing close to Moshe. Historically, sometimes the Jewish people came close to Moshe in a way which was appropriate, and sometimes inappropriate. When it came to Meraglim, when it came to sending scouts to Israel, which was not a good thing, there was Arvuvia. There was a mixture. It says, Na'orim Dechvim, the young people pushed themselves in front of the older people. That was not an appropriate request. That was not an appropriate drawing close to Moshe. But this is appropriate because there's respect. It's a respectful crowd. And we have a situation where Kol Roshei Shivtechem, the leaders of the tribes, and Ziknechem, the elders, and there's no young people pushing them down, which is a good thing, or so it would seem. Vatoimru, and you said, Hein heranu Hashem alekeinu es kvede. Indeed, God has shown us His glory, His honor, His godly, His greatness. Ve'eskoilo shemaino. So we have seen, and we have heard. Mitecha esh, from the midst of the fire. Hayem hazeh, on this very day. Ra'inu, we have seen, ki yedaber alekim es ha'odom, that God will speak to a person, v'choy, and the person will live. So what does this mean? How did they see that God will speak to a person, and the person will live? And what is Rashi trying to say here? What is the Chumash trying to say here? So the Targum Yonason says, that when it says, they saw, it means everybody was elevated to a state of Ruach HaKodesh. That means they saw. It wasn't something that you would see or I would see in a physical way. This is something like a Navi sees, a prophet sees, a person who's living in a different headspace. So just like when a person has mental illness, Chas V'Shalom, psychosis causes them to see things which aren't. When a person has a sense of holiness, a sense of Ruach HaKodesh, he sees the things which really are. It's the polar opposite of psychosis. And interestingly, sometimes prophecy mimics lunacy. Like we have an expression, Madua Boha Meshuga Hazais. They sort of talk about a prophet. They say, what is this crazy person coming here for? What does he want from us? So you see that sometimes they could look very, very similar, although they are the polar opposites. One is beneath normalcy, one is beyond rationality. So this is this idea that they saw. They saw something today. The Shalah says, they saw today that Hashem could speak to a person even when a person is alive. And this was something they thought happens, you know, when you go to the other world. You divest yourself of your body, the neshama is free, okay, the neshama communes with God. But these kind of things can happen during one's terrestrial lifetime. The Shalah says we saw otherwise. The Ksava Kabbalah has a different approach. He says this is not talking about the people. The people never really had that experience. Even in the time of mass revelation, they saw him speak to Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu remained alive. And we know that the prophecy of Moshe was on the highest levels, as the Rambam tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet ever. Even Mashiach will be a very great prophet. Will only be close to the level of Moshe when it comes to prophecy. And that's when Moshe, it says, is real ha'adam. The real Adam is Moshe. He's the real Adam al-Elyon. He's the real extraordinary specimen of humanity. As the Rambam calls him, Mivchar ha-min ha-anushi, the choicest, the select, the most perfect human ever to walk the face of the earth. So they saw Hashem speak to Moshe, and Moshe is still standing. Okay. So they said, okay, we saw that you can live. But v'ata now, lama namas, why should we die? Ki seichleinu ha-esh ha-gedela ha-zeis, because this great fire will consume us. Im yis in yisvim anachnu l'shmaya, if we will continue to hear the voice of God in this fashion, it will consume us. We will not be able to survive it. If we hear Kol Hashem Elokeinu Oid, if we hear the voice of Hashem more, v'masnu, we're going to die. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the Jewish people here were not speaking out of hashara, out of assumption. They were speaking here out of experience. Because we have a medrash that tells us that al kol dibur u'dibur parcha nishmasa, that every word they heard from Hashem, every kind they heard a statement, anech Hashem alekecha, the soul and body separated. It was not mass revelation, but mass extermination. Temporary. And then Hashem brought them back to life. And it says, Malachi Hashem, Yudeidin, Yudeidin, Hashem's Malachim take the people and kind of bounce them back to Har Sinai because they ran away Yud Bei Mil. They ran away this crazy distance, enormous distance. So he says they were terrified and they actually died. And they said there was Tchiyas HaMeisim each time. And the Al-Sheikh kind of the Al-Sheikh kind of develops this idea. He says, when you learn Rabbeinu Bechaya, you think, okay, so it's no fun to die. It's not such a comfortable process. The process of Tchiyas HaMeisim is not so convenient. So they said, you know what? We had enough of dying and coming back to life, dying, coming back to life, dying, coming back to life. Can we just stay alive? We can't really handle this. But the Al-Sheikh says they were afraid. Forget about the discomfort. They said, who says a miracle happens next time? This one time you brought us back to life, a second time? We're playing Russian roulette here, they said. This is not funny. We don't think this is a good idea. That's what they said to Moshe. We don't think this is a good idea. And what is a good idea? I'll tell you what's a good idea, they said. Where amongst flesh do you find people speaking, Hashem is speaking out of this fire, this fiery voice, and they live? Nobody's ever lived through something like this. I said, so the fact that we're still alive is extraordinary in and of itself. And therefore, they said, we have a much better idea. And the much better idea is, Krav Ata. Why don't you go close? Ushma is kol asher Hashem Elokeinu, kol asher yemer Hashem Elokeinu. Why don't you hear everything the Lord our God is saying? Va'at tedaber eleinu. And you'll speak to us. You hear it, you bring us the message. We think that's a much better idea. Is kol asher yedaber Hashem, everything that Hashem is going to speak, Elokeinu, our God, elecha to you, v'shomanu v'asinu. And then we will hear it. And don't worry, this will not affect our observance. We will hear it, and we will do it. But you know what? Please, you speak to him, because we can't handle this anymore. That was the Jewish people's idea.
Moshe did not die.
Moshe did not die. No, Moshe is a whole different life.
Where did he go?
Now, it's interesting. It says, Krav Ata Ushma. You will go close, you'll hear. And then it says, we'll hear you speak to Hashem, speak to you, and then you'll tell us what he said. So if they hear Moshe Rabbeinu being spoken to, why do they have to have Moshe Rabbeinu tell them what Hashem says? There's a big difference in God addressing you first person, punim b'punim, like we read about yesterday, and then you just eavesdropping, you hearing how Hashem speaks to Moshe. So they should have just said, let God speak to you. Let this be a personal communion, you and God. And we'll listen in, but we can't handle this face-to-face personal encounter. It's too up close and personal. It's too overpowering. It's too intoxicating. It's too painful. We can't deal with it. Why do we have this kind of reversal, like almost a role reversal, where we say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? You'll be listening. You'll come back. You'll tell us. Wouldn't it make more sense that they should just listen in and hear what Hashem says? So the Ramban in Parshas Yisrei says something amazing. He says, when Hashem spoke to you, you knew what he was saying. When Hashem spoke to Moshe and you heard him speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, you knew he was speaking. You didn't know what he was saying. They heard a voice. They couldn't decipher the voice. So that's the meaning of not being spoken to personally. They were literally eavesdropping. They heard something going on. So they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, let him speak to you. We'll hear a coil, we'll hear a voice, we'll hear sounds. Let him speak to you, we'll communicate with you. You'll tell us afterwards. That was the request that the Jewish people made.
Just like all of us.
Just like the rest of the Torah. But here Hashem wanted to speak to the people directly. Now there's something very strange about this verse. It seems to be a grammatical mistake, Chas v'Shalom. There seems to be a letter missing. You know that Hebrew speaks in masculine tense, and Hebrew speaks in feminine tense. French has the same principle, various other languages that operate that way. So when you want to say, and you, or you, in Hebrew, what word do we use? Ata, with the aleph, ata. So over here it says, ata a number of times. Let's say ata a number of times. And then, but in the middle of this verse, it doesn't say ata. What does it say? Take a look inside. Krav ata. You, go close. Vishoma eis asher yomer Hashem elokeinu. What does it say after that? Va'at. Va'at is feminine tense. So how did Moshe suddenly become a woman? What happened there?
He's living in a
Oy vey, don't go there.
Representing Jewish people during the Kalan Chuzan.
So he became multiple personalities? Okay, listen. The question, first of all, let's get the, you understand there's a question here? It says Va'at. When does it say Va'at? When it's listening to Hashem, it says Va'at. When does it say and you in the feminine tense? When it's Va'at Tedaber Eleinu. You'll speak to us.
To give over to us.
That's when all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu is addressed in the feminine tense. So Rashi says, it doesn't say va'ata, it says va'at. It doesn't use Lashon Zachar, the masculine tense, which is the proper grammar, but rather what seems to be improper grammar, feminine tense. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them something. Because remember, this is all Moshe Rabbeinu's narration. It's not what they said. It's all Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them they said. So Moshe Rabbeinu is actually giving them a window into how he was feeling. And what happened to him at this moment. Namely, Moshe Rabbeinu said, he tashed them as keichi kenekeva. You weaken me significantly. Men are generally stronger. Women are smarter. That's just the way Hashem made us. You weaken me. Moshe says, I lost my masculine brawn. I lost my strength. What weakened you? Why did you get weak, Moshe? Shenitzta arti aleichem. Because I had a great deal of personal anguish and frustration over you. The peace emes yodi, you weakened my grasp, you weakened my hands. Why? Kiro isi, because I saw she'einchem charedim l'hiskara v'lov me'ahava. You do not have this throbbing desire, this electric yearning to come close to Hashem out of love. And you don't want to listen to Hashem in the first person. You want it to be distant. You're not ready to have this experience. Would it not be nicer for you? Would it not be more profound? Would it not be more spiritual? Would it not be more elevating and exhilarating? To learn Torah from Hashem himself? And not to learn from me? But instead, no. Instead, you said, I want to learn from you. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had been a normal person, he'd be delighted. Oh, you want to learn from me? Great. Great. I'll be happy to do this. But Moshe is not a normal person. He's a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu is egoless. He's transparent. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have any own desires. Never about Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He says, I don't understand. You want to learn from me? You have an opportunity to speak to Hashem, and you came and you made a request, and this wasn't an inappropriate request. This was not an act of wild sort of rebellion. This is a good request. You came respectfully. Elders, leaders, young people are not even heard. And this is what you requested? And that's what you wanted?
No,
your answer is it's killing us. The Kli Yakar says that Moshe Rabbeinu became weakened. Why? Because what happened is Nechla Shachaymer v'nezgaber aseichel. He says all of a sudden you became so rational about this. It became so logical. You have a chance to get swept up in the holy fervor, in the euphoria of the moment. And instead of being close to Hashem, all of a sudden you became very logical. Your emotions were kind of tempered. And you said, yeah, it's nice, but it's killing us. So Moshe, you know what? Instead you should do this. Now you're right. It was killing them. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say it's like a father telling a child something or a mother telling it. It's just in a softer way, and it's not...
Yeah, but you could hear from Hashem himself. But she's not God's wife. You could hear from Hashem.
They tried that. It wasn't working.
Huh?
They tried that.
So let me ask you a question. If Moshe Rabbeinu was profoundly adversely affected, he was weakened to the point of va'at, the point of, he said, I'm not even a man anymore. You're weakened. The mighty Moses was entirely weakened. What does it tell us?
That he was on such a high degree.
It tells us he felt really bad.
Yeah, sure.
He felt really bad. He was really shocked. He didn't expect this. This caught him totally by surprise.
Sure.
But you're saying, well, hello. It's killing us. We can't afford this. Like Alsha says, we can't rely on miracles. We're going to have a tchias amesim. We don't know that. So the Rebbe asks a gevaldik question here. Page Samach Gimel and Biur Yochumash. What is going on here? He says, Ketzad Yitochen Hevdolkoi Gadol. How could there be such a wide gap, such an enormous difference between Ha'arachos Shel Moshe, between the estimation of Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu really thought the Jewish people could handle this? In fact, he was convinced they could handle it. Not only was he convinced, he was certain. So certain that he was shocked. So shocked that he became weakened. I mean, how did Moshe make such an enormous miscalculation? Shelafiha, from Moshe's perspective and estimation, Ru'uyim lil mit ba'atzo and piagvura, the Jewish people were deserving and worthy of learning from Hashem himself. And the surprise is so great that he tashed them. It weakens Moshe. Because when you're so certain of something, and you've been waiting for something, and you've been planning on something, and all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from beneath you, you're like, what? How did this happen? Moshe's shocked. And then, what happened? What did Hashem say? We take a look in the next verse. This is verse 24. Verse 25, it says, Vayishma Hashem eskel devrechem, God heard these words. V'dabrechem Eloi, when you were speaking to me. Vayomer Hashem Eloi, God said to Moshe, Shomati eskel devrei ha'am hazeh, I heard the peoples, I heard what they're saying. Asher dibro ilecha, they spoke to you. Hey tivu kol asher diberu. This is good. It's okay. They have a good point. They don't want to die again. They want to stay right here. Okay, that's fine.
Isn't a better question? How come Hashem didn't know?
It doesn't say Hashem didn't know.
What are you saying? He spoke to them, he killed them three times, brought
him
back, and then...
It says, Hashem gave them a test. He heard me from heavens. Liasrikem was a test. That's not a question. Hashem wanted to really shake them up. Now they appreciated Moshe. You bet your bottom dollar. They were in awe of Moshe, the words have been after. So we once tried this, and it did not go well for us. But you, Moshe, all the time. So... That's not so hard to understand why Hashem allowed this to happen. The big question for us is, how did Moshe miscalculate to such a degree? Sometimes you miscalculate. You thought something could be, and then, okay, I'm disappointed. But he tashed them. He tashed them means the rug is pulled out from beneath me. He tashed them means I experienced this profound discombobulation. Moshe Rabbeinu is not functioning even. He's functioning, but like at 50%. He's totally weakened. Like when you go golfing, right? The long drive. So for the guys, it's like 400 yards, and for the women, it's like 200 yards. It's like a, because take it into account.
This isn't the first time it happened. When it was on Har Sinai, it says, go down because the people were you to Shechedim Club. And he didn't have the power at that point.
Well, you're saying this is not the first time it happened, but that's not correct. It is the first time it happened.
Well, he lost his power when they.
That's later on, that's 40 days from now. We're going to get to that next week. That's next week. One second, 1 week at a time. Now we're learning Parshas Veschanan. In Parshas Veschanan, Hashem is giving the Torah to the Jewish people. We're just at the beginning of that 40-day process. At the end of the 40-day process, Moshe Rabbeinu will find himself literally booted out of heaven. We'll talk about that in Eretz Hashem. And we're going to see a big difference between the first time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and the second time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, an enormous difference. It's very subtle, but you see it's a huge difference. But that's next week.
My clock isn't running.
Your clock is running. You're just not thinking.
Oh, thank you.
The question becomes, how did Moshe have such a giant miscalculation? That's what this is, a giant miscalculation. If Moshe Rabbeinu can't relate to the common folk, then we're really in trouble. So what's the answer? That's what it seems, and that's not good. And we have, on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Moshe, no, they're right. They're right. They can't handle this. Ha'omnam Moshe? Could it be that Moshe, who is called HaRoya HaNeman, the faithful shepherd, was he so disconnected? Was he delusional about his people? Did he have absolutely no sense of reality? Really? That's not good. That's not a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's question number one. Question number two, Omnam Nitan Lahavin, it could be understood that the Jewish people's refusal to learn from Hashem got him tsar l'maisha. You understand that refusal caused some pain. Okay. It didn't just cause him pain, it caused him actual weakness. Mishmer doesn't exaggerate. He says, you weaken me. I became weakened. Actual weakened? Really? Like, how did that happen? Listen to this. Af achas mishtei harachas. None of these estimations, zei shel Moshe vezei shel Yisrael, the estimation of the Jewish people, nor the estimation shel Moshe Rabbeinu, lo hoisa mutis, neither is mistaken. Did the Jewish people have so little self-confidence? Were they so incapable? Moshe says, well, I know you. You can do this. They said, no, we can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. There's no mistake here. Neither is making a mistake. Neither is lacking in vision. Neither is unaware of the truth. Shtei ha'arachas hayu nechoinis. Both estimations are correct. No, we can't. Yes, you can. Both are right. But each is coming from a different perspective. Ha'arachas shel Moshe, the estimation of Moshe, hisyachsa ledargosam shel bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Jewish people, b'shar shehim nesunim lahashpa'asai hamerumemes shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Jewish people through the prism of a reality in which he was elevating their spirit. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was elevating their spirit, nechichusa shel Moshe letzidam, when Moshe Rabbeinu holds your hand and stands at your side, nitna lahem es ha'efsharos lifreitz es ha'migbaleis ha'ishiyus, then we have the opportunity to be able to transcend the natural personal limitations. The things that would usually inhibit us are not relevant when Moshe Rabbeinu is standing next to us. When Moshe Rabbeinu is holding our hand, we're not us. We're a different kind of us. Moshe Savar, Moshe believed, Shal Bnei Yisrael L'Natzel Yecholus Zu. They should utilize this possibility. They said, be all you can be, with Moshe holding your hand. So Moshe said, well, if Moshe holding your hand allows us to be this, then that's all you can be. So be all you can be, albeit because Moshe's holding your hand. And therefore, lekabel es ha-teira ba'atzmam, you should receive the Torah by yourselves, mipi ha-gvura, from the mouth of Hashem. So Moshe is right. Moshe said, yes, you can. And he was right. Yes, they could. What was the problem? No problem. They had to have Moshe holding their hand. As long as Moshe Rabbeinu was holding their hand, they really could. Liyumasai. Conversely, Tanu Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people's response was, Ritzoinam lekabel es ha-teira. They want to receive the Torah. Listen to this. Do you know how they want to receive the Torah? Be'emtzos kecheseihem heim. They wanted to receive the Torah. They wanted to be all who they could be. Period. No extra sentence. Not all who you be all you can be when Moshe Rabbeinu is holding your hand. They said, we want to do this. We want to have this experience in a manner that is us. It's us. So you can say to a person, you know, if you'll take this little pill, you'll have the strength and you'll be able to do it. And the person says, I don't want to be dependent on pills.
Steroids.
I don't want the steroid. I want to do this without the steroids. I have a friend that once tried to get his license. He left his eyeglasses in his pocket. Why? Because he was like a hero. He wanted to be able to get a license that has no restrictions. And after the first 2 minutes, the instructor goes, Mister, hey kid, you wear glasses by any chance? He says, funny you should say that. So he put on his eyeglasses, and that was, I mean, he passed his test, but he didn't get his unencumbered license. So the Jewish people said, we don't want to see it with eyeglasses. We don't want to do the long jump with steroids. We don't want to have the courage after we're drinking and sipping a cup of vodka. We want to do it as we are. Well, right or wrong, you could have the experience. If you could have the experience, hey, why not do it? A person could say, you know, I can't dance on Simchas Torah. I can't dance. I don't. What is Simchas Torah? Hello, it's Simchas Torah. So what? Well, nothing. I didn't win the lottery. Nothing. Nothing is exciting. What do you mean it's Simchas Torah?
It only lasts one generation.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it would only last one generation. But I'm just telling you, like, reality is that you and I dance Simchas Torah as long as we're in good health. What do? We say L'chaim. Why? Because without L'chaim, it's a little hard. The body is like, hello, what are you doing? You know, it's Thursday, it's not Simchas Torah. No, it's Simchas Torah. Well, that's for you, but not for me. The body says, I'm not interested. So kind of it helps out. It anesthetizes the disinterest. Releases the grip of the body a little. So the Jewish people said, we don't want to be drunk on Moshe. We don't want to have the steroids of Mosaic inspiration. We want to do this all by ourselves. We don't want borrowed ability. Which comes from the lofty, inspirational energy field and charisma that Moshe Rabbeinu brings to the fore. We're not looking for that. We want to do this with our own ability. We don't want artificial power. We don't want artificial realities. L'shem kach, for this, the Jewish people said, as we are, without you holding our hand, without you elevating us, as we are, the only way we can do this is if you will receive the Torah from Hashem and then tell us. That we could do. We can listen in to him talk to you, but we can't do this by ourselves. How, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? Al advarim elo hislein and Moshe. Moshe says, oyvei, he says. He tashed him as koichi. You weaken me. Refisim as yadi. My grasp was loosened. Drishasam shobnei Yisrael. The demand that the Jewish people had of Moshe. That Moshe yimsen as hatayda lebnei Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Lebehesem ledargosam shelohem. In accordance with their own level. Who they were. Organically, not artificially. Mechayeves es Moshe, forces Moshe, leredes midargosi. He has to leave his lofty, elevated, exalted spiritual consciousness. Lahalim es kechesev. In some way, he has to darken and conceal his own power. Kadesh b'nei Yisrael yisharu kvulim lemigbileseim hativis. That the Jewish people remain shackled to their present organic and natural abilities. But if Moshe Rabbeinu were to be Moshe Rabbeinu, they would automatically be flying. They would soar. They would be set free. But they said, we don't want to be set free. We want to be all we can be, who we really are. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to weaken myself. I actually had to dim my radiance. I had to turn down the intensity. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would come with his full intensity, what would happen? They would be elevated. They would be artificially buoyed. And they would be at this high exalted level, which they actually didn't want to be. Yachadim Zeis, at the same time, Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Gishas Zeis also. Moshe Rabbeinu is frustrated. He says, I have to weaken myself. But Hashem says, actually, they're right. Shekein Ritzein Yishla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does the Rebbeinu Shalom, what does God really want from us? He wants Shehateira Tikolot V'Tisafik V'Pnimi Yusei Shekho Yehudi, the Teira should be grasped, absorbed, in a manner that it permeates us as we are. Not us as we are artificially made somebody or something else. B'Dargasi U'B'Migmolesav Shalei. The Loirak B'Shashu Misroimim, not only when somebody's there to pick us up, not only when we're artificially elevated. L'me'al Migbolesav Ativis. So Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective is a perspective a real Rebbe wants to elevate the people. He wants to take them to the moon. But the people say, it's not healthy for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're right. There's a famous story told that the Alter Rebbe's whole doctrine and teaching, his toil, his effort, was to help us become transformed. Beficha uvilvavcha la'soyse is the whole Tanya is based on that. Alter Rebbe said, even bilvavcha, even your feelings could be changed. And that's very hard. Alter Rebbe says, derech haruchu k'tzara, the manner of Chabad, there's no quick fixes. But you can actually experience inner transformation. So what happened? So a group of Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe encountered a group of Chassidim of Alter Rebbe's peer, whose name is Reb Chaim Chaykel Me'amder, and they saw Reb Chaim Chaykel's Talmidim Davening, and they were very impressed. They said, wow, they're like even They're even better than Chabad. These guys are on fire. They're doing even better than us. So they came to the Alter Rebbe, they said, like, Chaim Chaykel doesn't make all these demands of them. He doesn't, Reb Chaim Chaykel doesn't have avoid the panemius and his bonanos have to work for, they take your kishkas out and he doesn't ask that. And look at them. And they're on fire. And the davening is even more passionate and more fervor filled than ours. And the Alter Rebbe smiled and he said, Zay davening. He said, they're davening. Chaim Chaykel davened. Chaim Chaykel is davening. In other words, Reb Chaim Chaykel elevated the Hasidim. He injected this spirituality, this elevated and exalted consciousness into their bloodstream. So they were on fire. But he said, that's not really them. That was Reb Chaim Chaykel elevating them. And Reb Chaim, the Alter Rebbe said, that's not Dira B'Tachtonim. That doesn't mean that Hashem's dwelling place is here. Hashem's dwelling place here means that we have to actually change. And this was, it's as if, Kaviyochel, the Alter Rebbe is saying this is an old dialogue already. You know, perhaps this Alter Rebbe is alluding to this, to the Rebbe's explanation here. He said, like, this is an old business. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu the first time wanted. And Hashem already corrected this and said, no. The job is not to elevate the people artificially. The job is that we should be able to fly on our own. And that's, my dear friends, what it's all about. It weakened Moshe. It weakened. He had to restrain. He had to hold back. But at the end of the day, the true achievement of Kabbalah Satayra is in this fashion, in this manner, when we ourselves pull ourselves together and we receive the Torah as we can, in the best way we can, and that's what gives us the keuches to be able to continue on and hopefully to bring this long show to its close and usher in a new reality of Geula v'Yeshua, al Yedei Mashiach Tzedkeinu b'Mehera, will be Amenu Amen.
Amen.
Chaim.
Amen.